Well, I am thankful to my God for the opportunity to be with you this morning, to share with you in this marvelous period of worship to the God who's loved us so much and given so much to us and for us. Thank you for being here. Appreciate very much participating in the Lord's Supper with you, singing, and the wonderful prayer that Bill led us in just a moment ago. In the world in which we live, there is a war that's being waged for your heart. Satan is trying to fill your heart with darkness. He stands ready to shovel the world into your heart like the old fella in the freight trains that would shovel the coal into the furnace. He'd just like to do that to each and every one of us. I remember in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3 that he was successful with a man by the name of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. Peter said that Satan had filled Ananias' heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. We are, all of us, in a struggle against Satan to keep him out of our hearts and keep our hearts pure and fit to serve the Lord. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Why is the battle for our hearts important? I think as we look around in the world today and as we think about our spiritual struggles, we realize that it's real, but why is it important? It's important because the condition of your heart determines really who you are. Some of us might think that the person that we really are is the person we think ourselves to be. Or the person that we really are is what everybody else thinks about us. Or the person that we really are is just the things that we do that are good minus the things that we do that are bad. That's how we like to think of ourselves. But the person that we really are is the hidden person of the heart. That defines us before God. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 19, the wise man said that as in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. You go to the mirror or to a reflecting pool and you look into it and you see your physical image. But the writer of Proverbs is saying to us that when we look into our heart, we see our spiritual image. We see who we really are. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, Jesus said that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, what comes out of your heart says who you are. You're a good man, you're going to bring forth good because that's what's in your heart. You're an evil man, you're going to bring forth evil because that's what's in your heart. And it is the heart that the Lord judges and tests to determine who you are. Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 20, Jeremiah said, O Lord of hosts, you judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart. That's how God determines who you really are and how He judges you, by testing the mind and the heart. So the condition of your heart determines who you really are. It guides your thoughts and your actions. Jesus, I think, is clear about this in the passage that we just read and also in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. When he says that from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. Our hearts guard our thoughts and our actions. In Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what he's going to do. More than all of this, the condition of our hearts determines our eternal destiny. For Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Your heart's got to be right. Your heart's got to be right if you're going to be with God in eternity. So it's an important battle that's being waged day by day. And I can't, in the time remaining this morning, talk about all that's involved in that, but I would like to touch on some aspects of it. Think about what Satan tries to put in your heart. And it could broadly perhaps be described simply as lust, desires for things that we shouldn't or don't need to have, desires for things that are unlawful in the sight of God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, of course, John says that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this is the stuff that Satan is trying to shovel into our hearts. This is what he's trying to get into us to defile us. And it can broadly be described as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're going to expand on that just a little bit and look at it in a little more detail. As I said, not as much as we might could if we had a whole lot more time. But we're going to touch on some of these things. When it comes to lust, especially lust can be for anything that's unlawful. We can desire all kinds of things that we ought not. But when we think of lust, we often think of it in the context of sexual things. And here's a huge tool that Satan uses in our society. The desire to lust after things that are sexual, members of the opposite sex who we have no right to, surrounds us in our culture. In commercials, all the time. I don't know what in the world sex appeal has to do with selling a hamburger. But it's connected in commercials. Or selling a car. And all of that, and selling beer. And so on, and we could go on and on, right? And Satan is trying to get that in our heart to use us to not only want things of a sexual nature that we have no right or business, but also other things as well, as he couples them together with things that are sinful. And we haven't even touched on the huge problem of pornography in our society. Or modern music and the dances that go with it that are portrayed everywhere around us. Here's some advice from Solomon in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 25. You see a woman who's beautiful and yet not someone you have any business with? Here's what he says. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. In your heart. That's what Satan's trying to get you to do. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The problem is a heart problem. The problem is Satan getting into our hearts with desire for something that's not good for us spiritually. That is darkness, and that God has decreed we're not to have. The problem is a heart problem. There are people in our society, I am well confident, who cannot keep their minds off lusting for sexual things, and every time they see any of the kinds of things that we've described, talked about already this morning, that's where their heart's going to go. That's where they're going to go because that's where their heart is. There are others in our society, and I hope most of us sitting in this room this morning, who are fairly impervious to that kind of thing because our heart's in the right place. But it depends on where your heart is. The story is told about these two Buddhist monks who are walking in a rainstorm together down a path, and they come to a stream that is out of its banks a little bit, and the current's a little fast, and there's a beautiful woman standing there by the stream. And one of the monks asked her, can we help you? And she said, well, I want to go across the stream here, but the current looks rough, and I don't know if I can make it. And he said, I'll carry you. And so he puts her on his shoulders and carries her across the, the stream and goes back to the other side, and he and his companion go back to the monastery that night, and later on his companion says to him, "I have a problem with what you did this afternoon. We're Buddhist monks, and we vow not only not to touch a woman, but not even to look at a woman, and you did both today." And the monk replied this, "I set her down on the other side of the stream. You're still carrying her in your heart." It's a heart problem. Satan wants to fill us with lust. And related to that, and a specific kind, and another kind of lust, is he wants to fill us in our society with covetousness, with a desire for things that we see all around us. In James chapter 4 and verse 1, James says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Why are people so dissatisfied? We can't get along," really is the question that he's asking. "Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" The lust that we were just talking about. And then he goes on and says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." The warning is against covetousness. And he says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Later on in the same context, in verse 7, he says to us, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So we have this battle that Satan is waging in our hearts to try to get us to want things that we don't need, things that don't belong to us. Covetousness. I've observed before that we're living in a society that's really the marketing of Fifth Avenue is almost built on the concept of covetousness. That you've got to have what somebody else has. You've got to have the next best thing. We stand in lines for hours to get the next whatever because everybody else is. And we don't really need. Related to covetousness is envy. Covetousness is kind of wanting what somebody else has. Envy is kind of wanting what they've achieved or their status. But they're related. They're a similar kind of lust. James says about envy in James chapter 3 and verse 15 that such worldly wisdom does not come from heaven but is earthly. It is unspiritual. It is of the devil. "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice," the NIV version says. It comes down from the devil. He's the one who is responsible for that. And in Proverbs 23 and verse 17, we're told, don't let your heart envy sinners. We see people who have achieved certain status and accomplished certain things in this world. Our kids want to be like the movie stars and the rock stars. And those who've accomplished worldly fame and gained worldly wealth. And God says to us, don't envy such people in your hearts. Proverbs 23 and verse 17, he puts it this way, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day." Satan tries to put lust and covetousness and envy in our hearts and anger. Anger that is not a righteous anger. I know not all anger is sin, but what Satan wants in our hearts is anger that is uncontrolled and it's unrighteous and it's selfish. And the warning of Scripture is, do not be quick in your spirit to become angry. Anger lodges in the heart of fools. The ESV of Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath or give place to" who? The devil. When you let anger reside in your heart, you're allowing him to shovel that in. and fill your heart up with darkness and pride. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. We just think too much of ourselves, and Satan wants us to think more and more of ourselves, our knowledge and our achievements and what we, our opinions, how much better they are than everybody else's. And all of these things Satan tries to put in our hearts. I want to tell you the conduits that Satan uses to accomplish this, and I want you to think about these just briefly with me. Idleness. We have so much time on our hands in our society. And because we're idle, Satan uses that idleness to put the things in our hearts that he wants. If we are not productive in serving the Lord with the extra time, extra money that so many of us possess in our society, he'll use idleness to put things in our hearts that don't belong. In 1 Timothy 5, there's an interesting passage. I know we've read this in the context of supporting widows and what young widows are supposed to do and all of that sort of thing. But I want you to notice a connection in 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting verse 13 with me. Talking about young widows, he says, "Besides this, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not." And so here are some young women with spiritual problems that are a direct result of their idleness. He goes on to say, "Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully." In other words, get busy doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, and you won't have all this idle time to be doing things you're not supposed to be doing. And then I want you to notice in verse 15, he says, "For some have already turned aside unto Satan." Through what? Idleness. Through idleness. And so Satan uses idleness in the way that's described here and many other ways. Your free time. Are you using it for selfish pleasure, allowing Satan to fill your heart with a lot of things that don't belong? Or are you using it to serve the Lord? Satan tries to fill your heart with sights and sounds. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" What are we looking at? What are we listening to? Take heed what you hear, Jesus said, probably most specifically regarding doctrine, but still, take heed what you hear. What goes in your ear and what goes in your eye gets in your mind and in your heart. And then Satan tries to get to us and into us through tribulation and affliction. And certainly, many of us in this room know his efforts to try to do that in our lives. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." And he calls this thorn in the flesh, and we don't know exactly what it was, but he says it's a messenger of Satan. Satan apostled this thing in my life. Satan will use affliction, tribulation, hardship, health problems, and just problems, period, try to get in your life and get in your heart. How to win the battle? How can we guard against what Satan is trying to accomplish in our lives? Most of us have seen pictures, maybe some even have been, I don't know, to the Great Wall of China. The Chinese built this tremendous wall to keep out enemies. And although the wall was never broken down or breached, it didn't work. And repeatedly over the centuries, invaders were able to get into China by bribing the gatekeepers. When it comes to our hearts, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You have to be the gatekeeper of your heart. You have to be the one who determines who's coming in and coming out. And you can't allow Satan to bribe you. how to win the battle. Guard your heart. Watch what you watch. And whether we're talking about television or who or what you're looking at as you walk down the street or in Walmart or whatever it might be, magazines that you pick up, books that you read, keep your heart with all diligence by watching what you watch. In Psalm 101 in verse 2, the psalmist says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Psalmist is talking about watching what he watches. And he's going to keep his heart pure, and it will not know wickedness, because he will not set any wicked thing before his eyes. In Psalm 119 and verse 36, the psalmist says, Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Those of you who are older may remember the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Y'all remember? I remember as a boy, we'd have one, you know, and just have everything under the sun. And I'd flip through there and, I just need this. I need that. And I need this. And I just, you know, before I picked it up, I didn't need anything. By the time I got finished looking at it, there were about 10,000 things I thought I needed. And they were all worthless. Watch what you watch, whether it's a television show or an advertisement, whatever it might be. Take heed what you hear. That's what Jesus said in Mark 4 and verse 24. And be careful about what and whom you admire. I'm speaking now especially to the young people who tend to be more influenced by role models, by people who have done well in our society, as we mentioned a little earlier, people who are rich and famous. Listen to the psalmist of Psalm 141 in verse 4. Do not incline my heart to an evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me, and it shall be a kindness. Let him rebuke me, and it shall be his excellent oil. Let my hot head not refuse it, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Don't become enamored with the deeds of the wicked or with people who are wicked. And again, in our society, our heroes, as one radio personality says, we're taught to, you know, admire people like Kim Kardashian and so on and so forth. Those kinds of people can't be our heroes, young people, or old alike. We've got to win that battle. We've got to be careful about what and whom we admire. And most important of all, we have to keep God's Word in our hearts. Make it the focus of our thinking. Read it. Meditate on it. Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. When the heart is filled with the Word of God, it's really hard for Satan to get much else in there. Because the Word of God is big and it's powerful. And it fills your soul to fullness. In Psalm 119 and verse 112, the psalmist says, I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Here has to be the inclination of the heart of each one of us. I hope as we conclude this morning that each one of us sees the practical use that we can make of this lesson. Nobody except the Lord Himself can really see what's going on in your heart. Whether or not you take this lesson and sincerely try to apply it, may or may not be perceived by anybody else but you and God. One day we'll stand before His throne. And the secrets of men will be revealed. And you'll be judged by what's in your heart. Let's have the attitude of the psalmist who said, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't you want a clean heart this morning? Christ can give you that. We purify our hearts by obeying the gospel. And if you've not done that, your heart can be pure this morning. If you'll obey the gospel, naming the name of Jesus, turning away from sin, being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, purify your heart this morning. And if you're a Christian and your heart is not pure, maybe there's something you need to confess. Maybe there's something you need prayer for where you have allowed impurity into your heart. We stand ready to help. Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?